Though he was rich, he became poor, so that by his poverty we may become rich. Now, every romantic story has a moment in it that speaks to the love between the two people. You know, some of those scenes, one of them, you know, when the fella would stand perhaps on the balcony and look into the full moon and lasso it in, so as to say, bring it closer. So he, as he brings that moon closer, he can give it to his beloved. You know, giving the whole world as a sign of one's affection and love. Quite often we might think of ourselves, what if I had more, I could do more. You know, the gospel speaks about the rich man and Lazarus. And how many times we would say, you know, if I had just another 1,000 or 2 or 1,000,000, I could do so much good in the world. Sometimes we might say, if I had a better job or I had better health, I could do more generous things, reach out in a community and look after the poor and the vulnerable. What if the church was smarter with her treasures? And rather than building new buildings and decorating places, they would simply donate it to the poor. What if we had the whole world? We would be able to do so much. And what if we look at the story of creation, when God created the world and the human person, and at the end of that creation story we read, he saw it was good, and he told the people, here is the world, live in it, enjoy it, make it useful, make it profitable to you. God gave us the world for us to live in it, to enjoy it. God gave us the world with its wisdom, our own ability to look at the things and say, I want more. To look at our talents and knowledge and say, I can figure this out. To be able to learn more. To look at the wisdom of the world, our own possibilities, and make the use of them. What if we realize that all we need, we already have. And there is really not much more that God can give to us, because sometimes it all depends how we look at the things. The one who has $5 in a pocket can feel as rich. And the one who has 5 millions can feel as really poor. The one who has an egg for a breakfast can think this is a sumptuous feast. And the one who has breakfast catered by the royal chef might still say this is not good enough. It's our way of looking at things sometimes. It's not what we have or we don't have, but how we see, how we perceive the world and what we have, how we see ourselves with our own potential and gifts. When we think of the gospel passage for today of the rich man and Lazarus, we think quite often of somebody else. Maybe the people who live somewhere in a big mansions. Maybe we think of the relatives who have more than us. And we think about them as the rich man. What if we think of the Lazarus as the one that we hear about as a part of the social justice in the life of the church in our communities? Those who have less, those who are vulnerable, those who are sickly, and so on. But what if the story is way different than our first perception? What if the story of the rich man of Lazarus is really about me and God? It's about you and God in your life. What if we looked at the story, thinking of the story of creation, the gift that God has given us, and we realize that the rich man in a gospel passage is each one of us. Each one of us, with our possibilities and talents, with what is given to us, our blessings and fears. Isn't that something that makes us rich? As we realize all those gifts, potentials, possibilities, the desires to have more and abilities to gain more. Isn't that being rich already? And what if that Lazarus who is sitting by this rich man's door is really God who is sitting at our door? Though he was rich, he became poor, so that by his poverty we can become rich. What if God is sitting at the doorpost of our life? And all he's looking for is for the scraps that would fall from our table. And the scraps that we are thinking of are not necessary, the extra $5 or extra hour of volunteering work. But if he's looking for the scraps, that we would realize that what he has given us is everything he could. And now he is longing for a little bit of our own time, of attention, for the little gift that we would see him in our life, that we would notice God at our doorposts and look for a little bit of a friendship with him, a little bit of a time that we would give him, a little bit of a reason to believe and to follow with him. God doesn't ask us necessarily to fix the world. That will come by itself. But can we make God part of our riches, of our life, of our world? Is it too much to ask sometimes of our life to share something with God? Not because we have to. Not because we are guilted to it, not because we are fearful of eternal damnation, but perhaps we see the very author of every treasure we have waiting for our invitation for him to come into our life. When I was thinking about that, it terrified me because I realized how many opportunities I have used to justify I don't have time for God because I need to be busy with work, with acquiring things, with worrying, with being fearful about what's going to happen next, only to realize all of those things are part of God's treasure given to me. And if I only find now a little bit of a room out of my free will for God to come and cherish those gifts with me, everything else would fall into the place almost by itself. Today, as we pray, celebrating the year of the Eucharist, celebrating the sacraments, let's pray for each other that we realize how rich we truly are, having God himself giving us everything he has so that we can become rich. Rich not according to this world, but rich beyond our imagination. Let's pray that in our busyness of this worldly life, we may have time and still have time to see God waiting sometimes even for the scraps of our life and time.